very glad to see everyone tonight in the meeting, and it's an encouragement to us night by night to see that the services are so well supported. Thank you all for your prayers and for all that you're seeking to do to get souls in here to the meetings, and that's very much appreciated. We want to read a passage tonight from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Paul's epistle to the Romans, and we're reading from the chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and we're commencing at the verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank the Lord for his precious truth that we have tonight before us, and we trust the Lord will bless his word, the reading of his word, to every heart tonight for his own name's sake. Let us bow briefly in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for our meeting and for our gathering here tonight. And we praise thee, Lord, for thy mercies, thy many mercies, Lord, toward us, that God has bestowed upon us. We thank thee for these things, even for this day, for upholding our lives and for preserving us and for keeping us, for our daily bread, for health and strength. O God, for thy tender mercies, we give thee thanks and praise. For, Lord, we are reminded over and over again that in him we live and move and have our being. Oh, we thank thee tonight for the gospel. We praise thee for our glorious Saviour, that man of Calvary, the captain of our salvation, who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee, Lord, tonight we can say we serve a risen Saviour. He is alive and alive forevermore. We thank you for all who have come tonight. For everyone present in the meeting, oh, draw near to us. Grant to us, Lord, oh God, that sense, Lord, of thy presence and of eternity. Lord, eternity to come. Grant, Lord, that not one soul would leave this meeting tonight. Oh God, unsaved, out of fellowship with God. Grant, Lord, they might be saved tonight, reconciled unto God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the meetings as they continue, and undertake for us now, we ask, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn now tonight here in this portion of Scripture here that we've read from Romans and the chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8, of course, is a great chapter. What a weighty chapter it is. And I say it's a great chapter because it is all about certainties and assurances. And of course, we all like such, don't we? We like to think about certainties, things that are certain and solid. And we like to meditate upon assurances, things that are real and lasting. And of course, as we think of these things, we can only find them in the Word of God. We must turn to the Holy Scriptures for assurance. We must turn to the Word of God for things that are certain and things that are going to last. We sing very often these great truths in our hymns. We refer to that anchor that we have for the soul. So all of these things, these gospel truths, are very precious to each and every one of us, and we thank the Lord for them, especially because we are surrounded by uncertainties. We live in a world of uncertainties, and I think we all realize that. There are so many things, men and women, that hang in the balance, isn't that right, from day to day. And we can never say that we're going to be sure of this, that, or the other. We're surrounded by uncertainties. Will peace continue? We all love peace, don't we? That we can go about our daily business and have our daily routine. But we have no guarantee even that peace, as we know it, will continue. What about the economy? Things, I suppose, are not going too bad nowadays. Well, the farmers sometimes would like a better price for cattle, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the businessmen would like things perhaps to be a little bit better at times. But will the economy, how is the economy going to fare? Even as we think tonight, men and women, about our own health. And of course, how we value and treasure our health and strength from day to day. So we treasure and we love these things that are certain. And we love to speak about assurances. And we think, of course, we've all been thinking about that awful tragedy there in America. All those people over 60, perhaps near to 70, there at that rally that they were at, that folk festival, all of those people suddenly, they are cut down, and over 500 wounded. What about these people as they started out that evening, there for to go and enjoy themselves, so-called enjoyment, and to listen to a band? That multitude of people as they left their homes, young people, even children, and older people as well, as they left their homes, did they ever think that there was such a calamity going to happen? There they are, listening to the music, and they're caught up in the mood of the thing, and then all of a sudden this gunfire opens up, and a whole lot of people are cut down. And suddenly, life is over, and life is ended. And, of course, so many, again, left ill and left wounded in the hospital. So we are in the midst of, we're always in the midst of change. We sing it, don't we, about it in the hymn. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with May. Now, of course, God has given to us a book. God has given to us this word, the Holy Scriptures. And he gives in this word great assurances with regard to the future. Is there somebody in the meeting tonight? Am I speaking to some soul who is troubled with regard to the future? As I say, we're filled, surrounded by uncertainties every day. And our brother Colin quoted that scripture. We know not what a day will bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. But what a great consolation it is when we turn to the Word of God. This infallible Word And here we have it right throughout the scripture, right from Genesis, right through to Revelation. And here we read about the assurance of salvation. A man, a woman, a young person, whoever they might be, they can be assured that all is well with their souls for time and for eternity. Now, it's all here in the Word of God. And, of course, it is contained in the Gospel. And we ought always have to remind ourselves what the Gospel is. And the Gospel tonight, as we know, it is glad tidings. I hope we never tire of repeating that. The Gospel is glad tidings, and it is good news that Christ Jesus came into the world for to save sinners. And the message tells us very clearly, whoever they might be, wherever they might come from, whatever their past, whatever their sin, while we're still in a day of grace, whoever comes and falls at the feet of Christ, seeks his mercy and seeks his salvation, and looks to him in faith alone, prays God will be saved, and their future is secure. This is what the Gospel is all about. And of course we have it everywhere in the Word of God. It's contained here in this passage here that we read, that we're going to look at. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And the Apostle Paul here, of course, he's speaking to the people of God. He's speaking to Christians, those who have been born again of God's Holy Spirit, regenerated by the Spirit of God. They're new men, they're new women, they're new creatures in Christ. And he's saying here, whatever befalls them in this life or in this world, whatever trials or hardships they have to pass through, whatever opposition, whatever they have to face, that's what he's concerned about here in this passage, right to the end. He says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And as we look out upon our world and upon our society, and we see the chaos, we see the uncertainties, we see the rebellion and the wars and rumors of wars, we see all the changes that are taking place, yet the Word of God here would impress upon us this great truth: let us ever take heart and not be disturbed within ourselves. We're to be at peace. We're to rest in the Lord. All things work together for good to them that love God. We have it also in that great hymn, haven't we, with regard to the good news, and the Christian knows it is well with his soul. Is it well with your soul tonight? It is well with my soul. Now, there's many passages of scripture we could look at tonight that brings this great assurance out, this assurance of salvation, these great gospel certainties. But let us just in passing read a couple of verses, first of all from John's Gospel, chapter 17, and in the verse 24. John chapter 17, and in the verse 24. Here's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is, we might say, his will and testament. A lot of people are interested in wills and testaments. They're interested in the material. But here the Lord declares to us his last will and testament, and it has to do with the future of his disciples and of his people. And how solid it is, how good it is. He says in the verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is his desire, this is his will, that we be with him where he is. And praise God, there's nobody going to break his will or break his word. There's nobody, men and women, going to frustrate his purpose. Dear child of God, tonight, the time is coming for you and for me that where he is, there we're going to be also. We're going to be with him for time and for eternity. We have it again in John chapter 10. The John chapter 10, we go back a few chapters. John chapter 10, and in the verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. There is no doubt there about it. There's no question mark about it. If any man enter in, trust him, cast their all upon him, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is going to be fulfilled. He is going to be satisfied. He is going to be happy in the Lord. He is going to find everything that he needs. Everything. Every want he is going to find in Christ. And of course we have it also in the verse 28. In the chapter 10, the verse 28. For I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now you see, we must turn to the word of God to find these things out. And I say that because there's a whole lot of books going around tonight. There have been for years and for decades all sorts of books written. And they're written with the intention for to help people, to help them emotionally, to help them to live in this world, to get them through, as it were. But they have nothing whatever to offer for eternity. They have nothing to offer the soul when they come to their deathbed. There's no message of life. There's no message of hope. There's nothing about heaven. There's nothing about hell. No, it's just something for to help us over the rough patches in this life and in this world. Oh, but dear soul, tonight, here God has given to you and me a book. And as I say, it's a book that is filled with certainties and with assurances. We have read it here, haven't we? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, how blessed. How blessed if you can say it tonight in this meeting, and say it truly from your heart, and your conscience also bearing witness, if you can say, there's no condemnation for me. Jesus bore my sins. He bore the penalty. He bore the very condemnation. He took it all for me. There is therefore now no condemnation. So we look at this passage tonight, and what a great passage of Scripture it is. Now there is the certainty here of God's loving providence. God's loving providence. Some people don't believe in providence at all tonight. They don't believe that God has a plan and has a purpose for this world. Everything just runs at random, as it were. You know, it's just like when you let out the dog in the morning, and he's all excited. He runs all over the place. He runs here, there, everywhere. And they look at life and they look at the world a little bit like that. It's out of control. Nobody in charge. But here the apostle reminds us of the providence of God. Yes, of his loving providence. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, men and women tonight, I'm not a fatalist. Don't mean that. But what I mean is this. All things are ordered and controlled by the Almighty God. All things are controlled by the Almighty God. A loving God. A God of providence. I remember reading a story way back some time ago, after an awful coal mine disaster in England many years ago. 48 men were killed in that coal mine accident. And after that happened, the families were gathered at the mouth of the mine for a brief service. A clergyman came along, a bishop by the name of Bishop Stanley. And he told the story to the people about a bookmarker that he had at home. And he told the people that His mother had given him this bookmarker as a very young boy. Now he says, I have the bookmarker. And he says, if you look on one side of it, he said, it's all crisscrossed with threads, and it's all marked, threads running this way and the other way. And you look at it, and it doesn't seem to make any sense at all. No coordination in it. Ah, but he says, when I turn that bookmarker over, he says, I read these words. God is love. God is love. Look at one side of it. It's just a whole muddle of threads. But turn it over, and there you have the great truth. The leading truth in Scripture, that God is love. Now, many things tonight are not easy for to understand. We can't get to the depth of so many things. Things that happen in this life and in this world. We just can't delve to the very bottom of them. But note what the apostle, he says here to the people. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Just like that bookmarker, as we look out upon our vast world and we wonder to ourselves, what's really happening? What's going to take place next? Surprises each and every day. But oh, dear friend, need to realize that often behind a frowning providence, there is the hand of the Almighty God who knows everything and who is working everything according to his own purpose and plan. He takes the threads of life, doesn't he? All the different threads of my past. And every Christian in the meeting here tonight, we can all confess to that as we look back. He has taken the threads of our lives, and he has woven them all into a pattern, as it were. All the disappointments, all the ups and downs, things we have been through, the losses and the crosses and everything else. Now, of course, it's the Christian who realizes that. We look back. You can look back as a believer, as a child of God, and you can say, yes, the hand of God has been in it all. And God in his mercy, in his loving kindness, he brought me to that place of repentance. He brought me to that place of submission. Though it was a hard road at times, and though many a time you're despaired even of life itself, but God in his mercy spared me and delivered me and brought me to himself and saved me by his grace and by his mercy. But when you think of this, all things working together for good, is it by chance that you're here tonight in the meeting? Is it by chance? Now the world talks about chance and look, and I must confess I used to talk the same. You'd gamble upon a horse or something like that. It was, as far as you were concerned, all down to chance. Or playing with a deck of cards. We can understand where people are coming from. Because every child of God, we have a testimony. And God has opened our eyes, but that was the language we used as well. But dear friend, nothing runs or works at random. And it is not by luck or chance that you're in the meeting tonight. Events have been at work in your life as well, though you're not saved as yet. Yet certain events have been at work. Are you here tonight disappointed? Disappointed. You wouldn't like to admit it, but you're being very disappointed. Maybe disappointed with people. Disappointed with business. Disappointed with your own life. Disappointed with circumstances and everything else. But you see, all things work together for good. And you look back through the years. And I was just thinking as well, you know, how many times has God spared your life, dear friend? Now be honest about it. I know as when I look back to my teenage years, I can look on many an occasion when only for the mercy of God my life would have been snuffed out, and very quickly. Are there not people here in the meeting tonight? Go back to your teenage years and come on again, even right to your present experience. Maybe out on the farm, on the tractor, on the road, wherever it might be, working with machinery, somebody else involved perhaps, and you were just perhaps an inch away, a few seconds away from your life being taken from you, but in the mercy of God, you've been spared. You've been spared. And what if the God of heaven, what if the God of heaven had not intervened and allowed your life to be taken away and the breath from you? We know, the apostle says, that all things work together for good. And so you're here in the meeting tonight. You're here in this meeting. What a mercy. The mercies of God. You know, we sing the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, and it's a good hymn, and we ought to do it. But you know, when you stop to think about it, the mercies and the blessings of God are so numerous and so many, it would be impossible for us to count them all. There are so many. Providence. Secret hand that guides and upholds. The old Augustine said, didn't they? And you've probably heard the quote before. He says, if this world, if anything is left to chance, if anything is left at all to chance, he says, this world moves at random. But I tell you, there's no chance with the God of heaven. The God of this Bible is the sovereign Lord, Almighty God over all. And God speaks. Is the Lord speaking to you? And has been speaking to you over the past months? Aye, and perhaps over the past years as well. God is speaking. So it's not by chance that you're here. And moreover, it's not by chance that this gospel mission has come here to this town at this time. It's not by chance. Men and women, you're still in a day of opportunity. You're still in a day of grace. You see, for them poor people in America, at that folk concert, their opportunity is gone. All of them young people, and some of them older. As I say, they stepped out of their doorway on to enjoy themselves, never thinking for one minute what was going to overtake them. And think of the many, many broken hearts and the broken homes there, and all the family connections, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, and everything else. Oh, but dear soul, you're in this meeting tonight, and you're still living and you're still breathing. Yes, we as the people of God have much to give thanks for. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But unsaved, dear unsaved friend tonight, you have much to praise God for. You still have another opportunity. And when the Lord passes by, and you know he does pass by when the gospel is preached. As I say, the world talks about luck and chance and everything else. And the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but he is mindful of it. See that bird table you have out there in the garden? And you're feeding the birds? And all the sparrows that come flocking to it every day. And yet, not one of them is going to fall at random. Not one of them is going to fall at chance. Not without the Lord's permission. His eye is on the sparrow. And praise God, his eye is upon me. His hand is on his people. But there is the certainty of his love as well. In the verse 35. We're just taking these verses here. In the verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Do you note here how often the word who here is repeated? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us? That's as if it's a challenge given out here to all competitors, to all challengers. God given out that who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Who is going to condemn? Who is going to destroy the people of God or the child of God? There is the certainty of his love. Who? He says here, who shall separate us? Well, the answer is no man and no event. Dear child of God tonight, there's no man. No matter how powerful he is, no matter how important he is, wherever he comes from, whatever office he holds, whatever money he has behind him or whatever army, there is no man, no event that can separate the least, the weakest disciple. What about all the forces of hell, all the combined forces of hell? Oh no, there's no separation. As I say, this chapter is all about the great assurance of God. It is all about certainties. There is no speculation with regard to the future. The believer, is the believer one whose soul lies in the balance continually from moment to moment? Is that our state? From the time you get up in the morning till you lie down at night, is your soul, the salvation of your soul, hanging in the balance? No, no. No. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? No, we're not people. We're not ones that are in dread from hour to hour. But oh, what about the unconverted in the meeting? What about the unsaved? Dear soul tonight, dear friend tonight, your soul is in jeopardy from moment to moment. Think about it. From moment to moment, your soul hangs in the balance. And what if God should demand of you your soul, where would you be in eternity? These are the things you see that we have to pay attention to. All the books that are published today on psychology and all of these books that are published to help the mind and to help us to get through this world. But it's all man's wisdom. And for real wisdom, for solid wisdom, we must open the scriptures and turn to the word of God. And there, praise God, we find that there is assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And I can tell you, dear soul, tonight, whoever you are in this meeting, I can tell you this, on the authority of the word of God, that the moment you truly look to Christ and believe on him, praise God, you'll be saved. When you come in repentance, and forget about your past works and forget about your goodness, it's nothing in the sight of God. It's all just a great hill, a great heap of filthy rags. But the moment you look to Jesus, you'll be saved for time and for eternity. Our time is almost gone, but I want to just relate this story. There stood on one occasion a house in California, way back in 1890. It was reported at the time that this house was supposed to be the largest house in the world. I don't know if it was or not, but that was the report. The largest house ever built. The largest house in the world. And the woman that built the house, she started off by building a large winding staircase in the house. And as the years went by, she kept adding onto the staircase, this winding staircase. And it got longer and longer and longer, winding and twisting all up to the house. And her thought was this. I don't know if the dear lady was right in the head, but her thought was this. She said, if I keep on building and I keep on climbing and adding on to this staircase, she said, I'll escape death. I'll escape death. Now, that was her thinking. But do you know something? Death followed her up that staircase. didn't save her. She thought she was going to be elevated above the world, as it were, and clear of the world and society. But death followed her up that staircase. And death will follow us all up the staircase. The last great enemy is not yet destroyed. That is death. But do you know, if you're saved tonight in the meeting and you know the Lord and you love the Lord, do you know what the scripture tells us? You don't have to bother about the staircase. We're going up far higher anyway. And we're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Isn't that something wonderful? There's a better world than this one. There's a better kingdom than this kingdom of this world. It's the kingdom of the Almighty God. There is the certainty of his salvation. Verse 30. And what a great certainty it is. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And that word glorified there, we might say, is the end product, when we're glorified with him in the presence of the Almighty God. And you note there in the verse that the apostle uses past tenses for a future event. He's so sure of it. Them that he justified, called, and then he's going forward, glorified, future. It is so certain, you see. It is certain. There is nothing in this world like this. There's nothing, dear friends, tonight can concentrate the mind. There is nothing that can fulfill the mind, the will, and the heart like this salvation. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It satisfies the whole man. The gospel satisfies the whole man. Yes, even his very emotions, his will, his heart, his mind, his whole being. What a great salvation. There are people, and well-meaning people, but you know what they're doing? They're waiting for the next new book to come out, to search it, to see if it's going to give them any little bit of help at all. I don't say that in any critical way as such. There go I, but for the grace of God, it's not right. But they're waiting for the next new book to see if there's anything there to help them. Only to be disappointed. But the gospel satisfies the whole man. The apostle could say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The apostle had no hesitation in committing his soul and his salvation unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day of judgment, that day of accountability. See, this is what the Lord has done. This is what he has provided. These are the assurances. This is the solid rock. This is the word that he has given to us. Dear friend tonight, what about your own soul? What about your own standing? Are you right with him? Are you right with him? A man is restless, as Augustine said. He is restless until he finds his rest in him. And that's the way with our world tonight. It's the way with our neighbors and with our friends. They're restless. They're divided. Their minds are divided. Their hearts are divided. But when a man gets saved, it gives him a single purpose. It brings a simplicity to his life. A oneness. A unity. He's not distracted, left here, trying this, trying that, trying the other. No, he comes to rest in the Lord. He knows that all things work together for good. He is persuaded that nothing is going to separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He knows he's going on to heaven. Though that he justified and called, he also glorified. There's nothing greater than that, men and women. This is true satisfaction. This is true rest. This is salvation. So wonderful and so free, and it is the gift of God, purchased by the precious blood of Christ upon that cross on Calvary. Oh, look to him tonight. Come to him. Don't delay. Don't put it off. May the Lord bless his word to us.